Good morning, church, and welcome once again. Well, Cameron has said it earlier, we're almost the very end of this year. In fact, today's the last Sunday in 2020, and Christmas is now behind us. And I hope that even in spite of all the craziness and the turmoil that's going on in the world, that most of us managed to have a good Christmas and be able to spend it with at least a part of our families. And I know we were blessed enough and fortunate enough to spend Christmas Day with my mom, which is was to me amazing because she's elderly, of course. And I mean, out of, I don't know, she's got 8 children that are all married and I think 91 grandchildren. And it would have been very sad for her to have to spend Christmas all by herself. So I know she was grateful for us being there. But we had a nice visit. It was great. But as the new year, 2021, comes upon us, and I know that most of us, especially having gone through 2020 and all the changes and crazy, I don't know how else to explain it except say craziness, and everything that had happened, I know that a lot of us are wondering what's going to happen, you know, what is 2021 going to bring, or you know, are we going to finally just get past all of this and get back to some sort of normal? Is there a normal? Can there be a normal? Can we get back to where we were? And I think a lot of us, even in the church, are wondering, is that even possible? And in fact, we're still going through it. We still haven't come out of all of this. But there's been so many changes that not just the COVID-19, but just so many things have happened in 2020. And not good things either. Things that are kind of scary and kind of cause us to ponder and scratch our heads. But if this year has shown us anything, I believe that it has shown us, at least me, and you have to agree with me, that it's shown us how vulnerable we really are in this world, how helpless we are. When one tiny little virus that you can't even see unless you look under a microscope can bring possibly or mostly the whole world to a standstill. You know, I mean, that just shows us how really hopeless and helpless we are in the face of some of the dangers that are out there. And it really shows me the frailty of the system of this world, because we couldn't handle this. We didn't know how to handle it. And because of the way we handled it, there was a lot of side effects that possibly did more damage than the actual virus itself. And so it shows us how desperately we need God in our lives. When there's no one else to turn to, and there is no answers, where do we go? And we need God in our lives. And what has happened this past year really in the church should not take us by surprise. You know what? It never took God off by surprise. He already knew this was coming. God knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end. This did not take God by surprise because he was already prepared. And it's imperative that you and I understand. Before I go into where I want to go this morning, you have to understand that right now, right here, in this moment, you and I are living in this world. But this world is a fallen world. It is a fallen world. Everything is passing away. It has been for 2,000 years, over 2,000, 6,000, since Adam. And it will never know true peace. I mean, we've been struggling all these years. There's never been a time where there has been true peace on the face of the earth for 6,000 years. There's always been some problem, some people that are at war, fighting. There's always been trouble. And we will never know, as long as this earth remains, true peace on this earth. Why? Because it is a fallen earth. And it will not know that peace until when? the return of Jesus. And if this year hasn't convinced you yet that we need a Savior, then just hang around for a while. And see if down the road, if you won't change your mind about that. Now, I want to go through the scriptures before we really go where I want to go. And I want to read some of the things that are written in the book about where we are right now. And I don't want this message to be a message of doom and gloom for the future, because it's not. But it might sound that way as we begin to read through some of these scriptures. In the book of 2 Timothy, here the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, whom he has ordained to oversee the church. And he says this in chapter 3, verse 1. Know this, Timothy, that in the last days perilous times will come. In verse 13 of that same chapter, it says that evil men and seducers will wax, or the word wax means grow worse and worse. Chapter 4 of the same book, he goes on and he says in verse 13, or verse 3 and 4, pardon me, for the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own desires or their own lusts, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4, and they will turn away their eyes from the truth and will be turned unto fables. Paul is warning Timothy what is coming down the pipe. There's coming a time where perilous times are going to come, where seducers are going to grow worse and worse, deceivers. And then in Timothy, in 1 Timothy, chapter 6, he again addresses a lot of this. He says, but Timothy, you flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. You fight that good fight of faith. You lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give you charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep this command without spot, unrebukable, until the what appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Timothy. Now here he pleads at the end of the chapter, and listen very carefully to what he says. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. What was committed to the trust of Timothy? The truth, the gospel message. It says, avoid profane and vain babblings and opposition of science falsely so called. We are living in a day, in an age, where they're all saying, oh, we're following the science. I mean, whether it's global warming, it's all, we are being deceived. As far as I'm concerned, it's all false. It's all science. Even through this whole pandemic, we're to follow the science. And the Bible specifically says here, O man of God, flee these things. Vain babblings. Vain means empty. Anything that is in opposition to the truth of God's word is vanity. And it's coming to naught. So the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to Timothy, was writing, this isn't Paul's, how did Paul know anything about the future? Because he talks about the last days. Well, the Apostle Paul lived thousands of years ago. How did he know? He was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning, from the end. And he was warning us of the things that are to come. Guess what? They're here. We are living in perilous times, in the last days. And all of the things that Paul warns us about is happening right before our very eyes. Now, like I said earlier, it might seem like I'm preaching doom and gloom. That's not my intent this morning. But you know what? If you're of the world and you're not part of God's family, then this message is doing you. I'm sorry. But you know, we are the children of God, of the light, the Bible tells us. And his return is the hope of every Christian, every child of God. And even if God tarries, I'm not professing to know when, but even if he tarries, we have confidence in this one thing, that he will keep us from all harm and all evil, no matter what may come on the earth. And going forward in 2021, because every year I give kind of a message as to what the Lord's laid on my heart for the next year. And last year, remember, I preached the first Sunday on rise up, know who you are in Christ, begin to walk in who you really are. It's time to wake up and look around. And that was before all of this year even opened up. But going forward in 2021, I can't help. I can't promise you that it's going to get any better, because the Bible says it is not. But I can teach us the very source of our hope. We need to be strong in the source of the Christian hope. And you know, many people in the church, many Christians, know the source of their hope in their heads. But you know what? Knowing it in your heads and experiencing it in your life, knowing it in your heart, are two totally different things. If you only know in your heads the truth, it's not going to help you in this life. You need to know it in your heart, where you can trust it, where you can absolutely trust it. We are told to fight the good fight of faith. He said, "Oh, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called." You and I are called to eternal life in Christ. Lay hold. What does that mean, to lay hold on something? It doesn't mean to just passively, oh yeah, it's mine. No, you grab it and you make it your own. Because we got an enemy out here who is going to fight you for it. But it's yours. Take it. Be serious about it. Lay hold of eternal life. It's funny, in the natural, if there's something that belongs to us, we know how to lay hold of it. We know how to take it and not let go, or like a dog on the bone. But yet, when it comes to the things of God and the spiritual things, which are much far greater than anything we could lay hold of on this side of heaven, we kind of like we're complacent. But I believe 2020 was a wake-up call. It really was, especially even for the church. It's a wake-up call. So it's laying hold of this eternal life while we're in this world. It is really dependent on you and I believing the truth that I want to share with us this morning. Not just knowing it in your head, having heard it, and mentally assenting to it, because that's what we do. But I'm talking about making it your life this year. Walking in the truth of it, believing it, practicing it. And in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, it says this: "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did." Now this morning I'm talking about this great hope that we have as Christians. The law never made anything perfect. What does that mean? That means that before Jesus came, all of God's people were under the law, the Ten Commandments. And they were judged by their ability to keep those Ten Commandments. If you broke one, actually, you were punished for breaking all ten. Boy, it was severe. You didn't miss breaking you. And that's why God instituted the sacrifices back in the Old Testament. Because had he not, every one of his people would have died. There would have been nobody saved, because nobody could keep the Ten Commandments. And so one must wonder, you know, if you really are a deep thinker, you think, well, if not one person born on this planet could have kept perfectly the Ten Commandments, why did God give them? Because he knew that. Why were the commandments ever given in the first place? Well, the Bible tells us God gave us the Ten Commandments to prove to us who are proud and, oh, bless God, I can do it. I can live a holy life. I can do it. To show us we could not. You cannot, without God, live a life good enough to get to heaven. So it was to prove to every man, woman, and child that you can't make it. Your own works of righteousness, your holiness is not going to cut it with God. That was the only reason. And it said, and when the fullness of time had come, after that law had been in place for many, many years, and people kept breaking it, people kept dying, finally, after the fullness of time had come, it says God sent his son. And Jesus, the Bible tells us, was spotless, sinless, pure, spotless Son of God. And guess what? He kept the law. But you know what? He didn't need to keep the law. He kept it for you and for me. So he paid off. He delivered us from the law by paying it off. Once and for all, the slate was clean. You are no longer under the law. You are now, we just read, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. What is that better hope? It is the new covenant. What is the new covenant? This is the whole source, the whole clause of our faith. So when Jesus came, he brought in the new covenant. The Bible calls it a new hope that is no longer based on you keeping the commands. Why? Because Jesus kept them for you. It's not about your performance any longer, how good you can be or do or follow the Ten Commandments. In fact, the Bible says the old has vanished away. And so for us to study the Ten Commandments and try to keep them is an affront to God. We are no longer under that covenant. That's an old covenant. We're in the new covenant. And this new covenant is not based on what we do, but on what Jesus did. He kept the commands perfectly, right to every dot and every tittle. He forgot not one of them. And then he suffered the penalty that you and I deserve for breaking all of those laws. Because there was a penalty attached, a big one. The soul who sins shall die. And that's why in the Old Testament they used to stone people when they broke the law. It is a serious thing back then to break the law. But Jesus took upon himself all of the consequences, the Bible tells us, that our sins, the punishment that our sins deserved. And that's why when Jesus went to the cross, he went through so many phases. He sweat drops of blood. That speaks to us about the agony of suffering mentally. And then he was beaten until his insides fell out. There was no more skin left. They used whips with balls and little nails on the ends of those balls, and they would like this and then pull until all the skin was completely ripped away. That's why the Bible says, by his stripes, those are what they beat him with, we are healed. So sickness and disease came in because of sin, because we broke the law. So he paid off. He suffered all of the consequences that our sins deserved. Even physical sicknesses. We're not just talking about spiritual things here now. We're talking about, because when Jesus went to that cross, he suffered mentally, physically, and spiritually. He suffered in three parts, and we are a three-part being. He missed nothing. Nothing. So he suffered the penalty for us breaking all of God's commandments by going to the cross, suffering, and then ultimately dying our death at the cross and shedding his blood for our sin. Now, what God did for us at the cross, no one really saw. It was a mystery. But when Jesus died, You, the Bible tells you, God took the whole human race who was under this curse of sin because we couldn't, God, you see, sin has to be paid for, okay? The law is perfect, holy, just, and righteous. It'll never pass away. It'll never die. So because the law couldn't die, we had to die. So we're dead to the law. Do you understand that? When Christ died, we died in him. And when he rose again, we rose in him, completely set free from the law. Jesus kept it all for us. We were silent partners, and we didn't even know it. So when God placed us all into Christ, and then Jesus poured out his blood at the cross, that blood washed away all of our sins. That is the clause, the ultimate priority of the new covenant, that all of your sins are washed away. For how long? Forever. Chapter 8, verse 12 of the same chapter or the same book that we're in, Hebrews, says this: "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more." Romans 4, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says this: "Blessed are they." The word blessed means, oh, how happy. Happy. "Blessed are they whose sins, iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are all covered. Blessed is the man or woman." And there again, the word means blessed. It means, oh, how very happy is the man or the woman whom the Lord will not impute sin. The Bible says, uses the word, the Greek words, because it's written in Greek, will not. Actually, it's a double negative. It actually means, if you look it up, it says, will no, never impute sin. How many of us live our lives in that manner? How many of us really believe that truth? This is a truth that even the church doesn't believe, most of us. It's hard for us to believe this truth. We think this is a simple, well, this is just a simple, let's go on to deeper things. Bless God, this doesn't get any deeper than this. Because it is so hard for us to understand how, because we still live, you see, we still live in this flesh body. And the Bible even says, no good thing dwells in my flesh. You see, the flesh is still the flesh, which is under the sin, under the wall of sin. So your flesh still has wrong desires. And how is it that we can give in? Because we do. Because the more we try not to give, it's like a diet. The more, you know, as long as you're not on a diet, those foods don't bother you. But as soon as you put yourself on a diet, oh, kill for chocolate right now. But that's how it is with the flesh. The moment you try to keep it down and keep it under, it rises up. And you think, the thing I really want to do in my heart, I'm not doing. And the thing I'm doing, I really don't want to do in my heart. And so there's this battle going on. And you wonder, oh, even Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to deliver me from this body of sin? Therefore, he says, no good thing dwells in my flesh. And the thing is, as long as you're in this flesh body, as long as you're in this earth, you are going to have to deal with the flesh. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to deal with the flesh? But the flesh has a voice. And it's usually screaming at us for some reason or other. Either it's in pain, it's hungry, it's tired, it's whatever. And someday when we leave this flesh body behind, we're going to know life like we have never experienced it before, because you are held back by your body. You know, I said that last week. You don't age in your spirit. And that's why when you go to the mirror as you get older, you go, whoa, you hardly can believe. Because you don't feel inside any older. You're the same, even though the body, you see, the body is under, I said this world is actually a fallen world. Well, your body is a fallen body. I'm so glad we're getting a new body. That'll be such a great day. But you on the inside have already been made brand new. Any man in Christ, he is a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are not who you used to be. The moment you receive Jesus, you become brand new. And at that moment, God places you into Christ when you receive that forgiveness of sins, and all your sins are gone. Forever. Forever and ever and ever. We used to think that when we came to Christ, because we know that Jesus forgives our sins, and we'd repent, and, you know, I'm sorry, that God would forgive us our sins from the time we were born up until that moment when we received him. And then from then on, ooh, you better watch it, because now God's going to expect more from you. Nothing could be further from the truth. That's a lie. When God washed your sins away, he washed them all away, even the ones you haven't committed yet. And that's so hard for us to understand. But you got to understand when this all happened, when God lives outside of time. We live in a thing called time. When he looked at you, when he placed you into Christ, he placed the whole you, your whole life, because he knew your life. He had already seen the end from your beginning. And the Bible tells us that Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world, before God even created this world. Christ was already crucified. So of course it's for, how many sins did he die for? If you ask somebody that question, they'd say, well, all of them. Well, then why are you still walking around with sin? Why do you feel like you're being judged of sin? God said, I will be merciful to their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. And the more you and I walk in that truth, the more faith we are going to have that God hears our prayers. And especially going forward in 2021, in 2022, I don't know what's ahead of us. But the Bible says we're in perilous times. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, it's going to get darker and darker. We knew that. We've been preaching this, I've been preaching this message for 25 years because the Bible tells us about it. And you and I are going to need to have strong faith in Jesus. He will bring us through. He will provide all the things we need. But you need to trust him. And this word that I'm sharing this morning about realizing and understanding you are completely forgiven is what the church doesn't understand. They're constant. You know, when you feel guilty about something, when you feel like you've messed up or you're not such a good person, or you're not, you know, your confidence towards God and him giving you any kind of a blessing is small. But when you realize that it was because of Jesus, then we can come to him and ask for just about anything, right? It's not determined on your goodness. It's determined on his goodness. When in the old covenant, when the people had to bring the lamb with the blood because they messed up and they broke the law. Remember, I said the law had to be paid and it would be with their life. So God instituted the sacrifices. They'd have to bring a lamb to be sacrificed. They would bring to the high priest. Now, when they gave their lamb to the high priest, which they did once a year for the forgiveness of their sins, guess what? The high priest didn't look at the people and examine them for sin. Guess what? He knew why they were there. He didn't have to examine the people. He knew that they were sinners. Everybody sins. That's just what the Bible tells us. But what did he do? He examined the lamb. So when you come before God, God doesn't even see you. If you're in Christ, he sees Jesus. And guess what? He sees perfection. The Bible says we have been perfected for all time by the blood of Jesus. And even though we see our physical imperfections, we all do. Keep your eyes off of you and get them onto his perfection, because that's how God sees you. And when you get that revelation, you will be the happiest. That's why the Bible says, oh, happy is the man and the woman who knows this truth. That's how God sees you. As righteous, as perfect, as clean, as pure as his own son. And we saw from last week that what God calls clean, don't you call unclean. And if God has said, Megan, you are clean through the blood of Jesus, don't call yourself unclean. That's an affront to God. He paid a dear price. And this truth I've been telling you and I is the only thing. Right now, the Bible talks about in the book of Haggai that in these days, in these last days, there is a shaking going on. There is a shaking. God is shaking up everything. He's using people to do it, yes. What is he doing? He's shaking everything that this world has built up and made empires with until there's nothing left except his truth. Praise God, we have that truth. The only thing that cannot be shook up or taken or brought down in this world is the treasure you have in your heart. The new covenant truth, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, which is the truth. Everything else is being shook up. That's why we see so much going on in the world today. Corruption is raising its ugly head. We see so much. It's ugly. And we think, whoa. And I said to Cam, this didn't just happen yesterday. This has been going on for years. It's just that now with this virus and everything happening, things are coming to light. And you wonder, what is happening? God is shaking. The Bible says, I will shake the heavens and I will shake the earth. And even in the church, there's a shaking going on. And I believe that shaking is shaking off all of the things we thought were true about God and are not true. Let God be true, but let every man be a liar. The truth about who God is, what he's done, is what keeps us stable and strong in these end times. So blessed is the man who knows, who walks in this truth, whom God will not, no, never impute sin. Because God lives outside of time, he was able to put all of our sins onto the body of Jesus, and Jesus never stopped until he screamed out just before he died. He said, finished. What did that mean? That meant that every sin had been paid for in full. And then he died. But he did not die until it was done. Wow, what a Savior. If we could just see that in our hearts. What a great Savior. And this is the one truth the devil doesn't want you to know. He does not want you to experience this. And it's because we do not believe this one truth. Even in the church, those who know God, it is the reason we are not able to receive the things we need from God. God wants to provide everything for us. This is the main clause of the gospel. We are forever forgiven of all of our sin. Don't you ever judge yourself by your actions or who you are in the flesh. You judge yourself by what Jesus Christ did at the cross for you. It's not about you. Even the Apostle Paul said, listen, I am crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but the life I now live, I do not live by my flesh, but I live by my faith in the Son of God. And that's how we need to live going forward in 2021. Trust him. When you and I do not believe this truth, guess what? This is what grieves the heart of God more than anything, is us being in unbelief. You know, we say things today, and we've heard in the past, we even read it in the Bible. All things are possible with God. All things are possible. Where God is, all things are possible. Now, I'm not mocking that statement. And we believe that God can do anything, that nothing is by any means impossible with God. But I'm here today to give you some news. Did you know there's a lot of things that are impossible? A lot of things are possible with God? The Bible tells us that there's one thing it tells us that's impossible with God, only one thing. And it says it's impossible for God to lie. Okay? It's impossible for God to lie. And in this one impossibility, there are many impossibilities. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is impossible for God to lie. The Bible tells us that it is impossible for God to lie. This one impossibility means that he cannot. It does not mean he will not. It says when something is impossible, that means you cannot. It's not about you, whether you will it or not. It's like you cannot. Impossible. And I want to tell us something that is very impossible for God, and that is, it is impossible for God to ever impute even one sin to his people. That is an impossibility. Did you know that? It's impossible. To not believe the word of God, we do so to our own destruction. For it is, the Bible says, impossible to please God without faith or apart from faith. What faith? Where do we get faith from? How do we believe? To have absolute faith in God is to have absolute faith in his word. There is no other way. God and his word are one. And in that word, God says, we just read it, that you are forgiven. All of your sins are washed away. How long? Forever. God forgets. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. You guys figure this out. How far is the east from the west? So far has he removed your sins from you. God has thrown your sin, the Bible says in the Old Covenant, he has cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. You know what? We can't forget other people's sins. You know, they maybe get dulled in our mind after time goes by. Somebody's wronged us. Because we don't have that ability to do that. But guess what? God does. When God says, I will remember no more your sin, you know, we kind of get the idea that, well, God just said that to make us feel good. But when we come before him, he still sees everything. He sees our sin. If God said, I will no longer remember your sins, that meant all of your sins. Guess what? That tells us God can't see our sins. And as I said last week, this is not a license to go out and sin. God forbid. But it's a license for us. It releases us to trust God, to believe God for our well-being, for our finances, for I don't care what it is. God is a good God. And this sets us free to know that no matter what we ask, we're his children. So it's not a license to sin, but it's a license to be the children of God, who we really are already, even before we get to heaven. So it's impossible for God to lie. So it's impossible, therefore, to impute sin. Think about that. In fact, there's lots of impossibilities in the Word of God. Lots of them when you look at it in this manner. It also says we've been delivered from every curse. So it's impossible for God to curse you. It also says that no evil will befall us, Psalm 91, nor any plague will come near our dwelling. It's an impossibility that God would not honor that and keep all plague, including this coronavirus, from coming near your dwelling. I'm going to read it again. The Bible says in Psalm 91, no evil will befall you, none, nor any plague come near your dwelling. God spoke that. It's impossible, then, therefore, for that word to be broken. Do you understand why his impossibility to break his word is our possibilities to receive his good things? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that God has blessed us with every blessing. Therefore, it is impossible that God does not bless us at all times. The Bible tells us we are highly favored. These are the promises in God's word. Crowned with glory and honor and given authority over all the work of God's hands. These are God's words. These aren't our words. And we read them, we mentally assent to them, but we never live them. You know, we never get the joy of what the, you know, like, wow, I have a power and authority over all of the work of God's hands. That's the whole earth. I am highly favored. What does that mean? Well, go back and read it in the Bible about the favor of God and what it really means. You see, the more we know of this word, how can we have faith in God to break his word or keep his word when you don't even know what his word says? But when you got that word, like God himself has said, my word will never pass away. It will never lose its power. Everything in this world is going to pass away, but my word will stand forever. And that's why I say this shaking that's going on, the word of God will stand. The truth will stand forever. And right now, truth is being attacked in this world like never before. What used to be truth, I mean, everything is upside down. Well, even in one generation, from when I grew up to where I am now, which isn't that many years, whoa, things are so changed. What we used to believe back then is no longer what people believe. It's all wrong. Everything's changed. And you wonder and you stand back and you said, how did this all happen? How is it possible that everything is upside down? And the Bible talks about that. When evil becomes good and good becomes evil, we have to even be careful what we speak out of our mouth today. Like, really be careful. But bless God, the Bible says speaking the truth. You continue to speak the truth. Do not pay any attention to what's going on around us. Vain babblings, and let me just read that, and all of this stuff as science falsely so calls it. But we speak the truth in love. We have been given the peace of Jesus Christ, shalom, which actually means to be safe in mind, body, and estate. It means to have nothing broken and nothing missing in your life, no matter what it is God provided for you at the cross. And this is the word of the Lord concerning you and I. So tonight or today, no, I cannot promise you that the world is going to become better and brighter in 2021. I'm sorry. I've been praying about this, and Lord, what is ahead? I need to tell the people what is ahead. I don't know. I know God didn't give me a word that said, oh, bless God. I'm not saying that this virus isn't going to come under our feet, because all of our enemies are coming under our feet. But I know that we're living in very dark times. And the Bible says that it's going to get darker and darker. Until when? Until when? What is the great hope? Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the hope of every Christian. The appearing. And at that appearing, the Bible says we're going to see him as he really is when he breaks through those clouds, and we're going to be like him. What does that mean? That means this, finally, this body that's been holding us back is going to be changed. It says, in a twinkling of an eye. First of all, the dead in Christ are going to rise out of the graves with their new bodies. So if you've got loved ones that have passed on, don't grieve, the Bible says, as others grieve. They're coming back. And when they come back, they're coming back with a glorified body. Not a spirit body, but a glorified body. And if we are still on the earth, the Bible says we who are alive and remain on the earth, the Bible says after those that rise up with the Lord, then you and I will rise up with the Lord, and we will ever be with the Lord. It'll happen in an instant. Wow. That's the great hope. So in the meantime, we keep our heads down. We fight that good fight of faith. We keep the faith. We keep the truth. We learn and grow more in the truth. We trust the Lord going forward. Because no man knows the hour or the day when God calls us up. That is the appearing of Jesus. And we know the appearing happens before the coming. At God's coming, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is going to be judgment. But you and I have already been set free from judgment. All judgment. Why? Because Jesus took our judgment at the cross. We've already been judged. Once you receive Jesus, you're never going to be judged again. The only thing you will be judged for, the Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ someday. You will be judged. It's like the rewards given out. If you work in a big office and once a year you have the rewards banquet. And so Pat is called up because she gets the reward for the most sales, most faithful, whatever. That's what's going to happen. That's the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. It's actually called the Bema seat. It's too bad we have interpreted in the Greek to mean judgment, because judgment to us always means, doesn't mean a good thing. I'm going to be judged. You will never, the Bible even says, when you receive Jesus, you have passed from death into life. You have passed from judgment into justification. You are now justified. You are now holy, righteous forever. The blood of Jesus Christ has done a very, very good job. And for us to think any less means that we trample underfoot, Hebrews chapter 12, the very holy, holy blood of Jesus. It was his blood that made you holy. Do not despise it or treat it lightly. It is the most holy thing in the universe, and it covers you. You are a child of God, washed forever clean by that blood. So you have not been, the Bible tells us in the book of, we haven't got time to go there. I don't know how much time we've got here this morning. But in the book of Thessalonians, it says that we have not been called unto God's wrath, but we have been called unto salvation as we wait for the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, those left behind, they are going to go through some hard, hard things. But we were all given the opportunity, I hope and pray, to receive Jesus, to receive that free gift of salvation. It's so wonderful that when you start digging and investigating into the fullness of this gift, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more unbelievable, actually, as you go. The more I study this word, and I've been studying this word since I was 26, the more I realize I know nothing. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's just too much sometimes for me to take in. But I know this one thing, that going forward, God is going to look after us. That's his promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. I provide all of your needs. I have already delivered you from all of this evil that's going on around us. The Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. What does that mean? It means we are not subject or underneath the world's circumstances. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, how God has delivered us out from underneath the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son. So we are seated together already in heavenly places where all of our needs are met. It might not appear as it is so in this life as we walk, but bless God, you walk. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. We look at the things that are unseen, not the things that are seen. And we call those things that be not as though they are in our lives, because God has given us that authority through the Holy Spirit that's in us to speak words of life, because eternal life is already on the inside of us. And we lay hold of that eternal life by what? Speaking it. Speaking it. Take the word of God and speak unto that dead situation. You know, if you're having trouble in your job, you speak and you say, God's word says that he shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Therefore, my job is provided. God's word says that by his stripe, I am healed. Therefore, body, you are healed. I'm laying a hold of that promise. I'm not going to use the words, but you understand what I'm trying to say, and I ain't letting go, because it is impossible for God's word to ever lie to us. It's impossible for God to lie. You've got to believe that with all of your heart. Amen. So let's close this morning with communion and rejoice in the hope that God has set before us.